And just a 1% drop meant 5 million more borrowers qualify to get a mortgage who couldn't last fall.
But December, January, you could go in and get a house, be literally the only offer on that house. We're still in a good point right now, but come 2-3 months, I think you're going to be right again there, Chris.
I've been telling that to a lot of our clients. Some have pulled the trigger, but a lot of them just been sitting around twiddling their thumbs like, what are you doing?
Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old, but he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome to our show. It's for you. You work so hard for your money and you're now ready because you're sick and tired of it, but you're now ready for your money to start working harder for you today. You want that freedom. You want that cash flow right now. You don't have to wait 30 or 40 years for it to happen. You want it today so that you can live that life that you love with those that you love. But most importantly, guys, it's not just about getting rich. It's about you living a rich life, because as you are blessed more financially, you now have a greater capacity to bless the lives and create a ripple effect of those around you. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for allowing me to create a ripple effect through you. I just want to remind you, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our YouTube channel, the Money Ripples channel, and as well as the Money Ripples podcast channel that we have as well. You can definitely check that out if you love short videos and little clips. Basically, if you're ADD, check out that other channel as well. So guys, be sure to do that today. Hey, how amazing would it be if you could create monthly cash flow, passive income from making at least double digit returns on your money? And get this, it's only $1,000 or more that you need to invest. Guys, that's exactly what Secured Investment Corp does. They actually do short-term lending to real estate investors that's backed by real estate that you can actually earn double digit returns on. That means 10% or better. It's also IRA friendly, and you can even reinvest those monthly distributions to create compound interest on your money too. So guys, if you want to learn more about that, go check out securedinvestmentcorp.com. That's secured, S-E-C-U-R-E-D, investmentcorp.com. All right, so I've got a guest. Actually, I believe this is the second time we've had Kyle back on here, but I'm really excited to have Kyle Kohler here today because of this very reason. Is that right now, the number one objection I hear from people about either refinancing their house, buying a new home, or even buying a house for as a rental, they actually say, shouldn't I wait for mortgage rates to come down? Should I wait a little bit longer? Should I wait till I hear more from the feds and more in the news? But the problem is, guys, you wait till somebody else tells you, that's when you know it's too late. That's the problem. And so I'm bringing Kyle here because Kyle is on the ground floor. He's a founding partner as well as a branch manager in UMortgage. He's somebody that we've sent many of our clients to for referrals because they've got amazingly competitively low rates and terms, which is what we love. And so we want to talk about that today is our rates, are they going to keep going down? Are they going to go up? What's going to happen? And really, what should we be doing right now? And what's really happening in the market? So Kyle, welcome back to our show.
Oh, thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate that introduction. Lots going on, boots on the ground, a lot.
No kidding. Well, give us just a little bit more of your background and just like what even got you in the mortgage industry in the first place.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's crazy story of how it happens. I feel like for everyone, what they do in their industry. Mine was I was trying to get into dental school and I was having a hard time getting in. I had like the most kind of generic scores, GPA, getting interviews, but not getting in. And then a friend of mine, you know, messaged me and said, hey, you should come work with me and do mortgages. And I didn't know anything about
that. That's like pulling teeth, right?
I thought, I work at a bank with you. Am I a teller? Like, I had no idea. But he's like, no, come and check it out. See how the industry is. And then, you know, that was roughly 8 or 9 years ago. And he came in, taught me the industry, and I just kind of sprinted ever since. So it's just been kind of a blur, but you know, mortgage years is kind of like dog years. So I feel like I've been doing this for 20, 30 years just because I've seen so much. But dental school to a mortgage career. And now, you know, I'm a branch manager of roughly 80 loan officers nationwide. We're a nationwide branch, and it's just been fun to see it grow from, you know, 5 or 6 of us now to roughly, we're kind of hovering close to the 100 range. I'm excited.
Yeah. And you guys are doing like well over $500,000 a year in loans, right? Is that correct?
$500 million. So we're
half a billion. That's what I meant.
We're doing a lot.
500 million plus.
So this year we should probably hit the 750 threshold. My goal is a billion. I want to be a billion-dollar
Wow.
brand. So for just our branch alone, our company does 3 or 4 billion a year as a whole nationwide company, but my nationwide branch, our goal is to be a billion-dollar branch. And I keep speaking it to existence. This is going to happen. We're going to be a billion-dollar branch. And what helps us is being nationwide, like you said, the low rates and getting, a lot of units. We're over 100 units a month. And we're pushing to grow and just to improve on that piece.
Well, with what I'm seeing with mortgage rates, because I know everybody talks about the Fed rates, right? And people get those mixed up because there's the federal fund rate, which is what home equity lines of credit are based on. But then there's the mortgage rates that I see where I follow more of the 10-year treasury yield, which is a daily adjustment,
Yes.
right? That's actually adjusting on a day-to-day basis. And that's more with the 30-year mortgages and things that you see. What are some common myths or things that are kind of hanging people up right now that now maybe they're starting to realize, oh, I made a mistake?
Yeah, so big myths is depending what the 10-year treasury does, sometimes the rates go up and down. It can affect mortgage rates. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the mortgage rates. So people that are just following the 10-year treasury, they'll tell me, "Hey, Kyle, 10-year treasury's down. Our rates are definitely down, aren't they?" And you can take a look sometimes depending on if the, mortgage-backed securities are trading well or they have any sell-offs and stuff like that. Yeah, the rates come down, but sometimes it doesn't affect it at all. So a lot of people, a myth is thinking, "Oh, the 10-year treasury's down. Rates are going down," and we don't see that. Like today, for example, the 10-year treasury is down 6 basis points, but mortgages, we got 14 basis points swing. So it's actually in the green for mortgage rates are better today, whereas the 10-year treasury, it's slightly, it opened up a little bit 6 basis points worse, whereas mortgage, they're 14 basis points up. So it's kind of interesting how that works. That would be a day of the correlation where it doesn't quite make sense. So myth number one is that they are correlated, yes, but doesn't mean they're exact.
Like if there's a big move, then often you'll see it happen, but the little micro moves, maybe not so much.
Also, there's a ton of investors out there, right? We have thousands of banks. Depending on how they want to hedge their bets, they're the ones deciding, "Oh, well, if yeah, rates could get much better that day overall," but some lenders will say, "Nope, we're not going to make any price change today." Other lenders will say, "We will have a price change today." So, that's kind of why I like to be able to be a broker. I'm a broker, so I can broker out to different banks and lenders because then I can see what they're doing, what these lenders are doing, making the decisions when they see kind of, decisions with the Fed or what's going on with the Treasury. It's kind of nice to see, oh, I know they're hedging their bets. They think rates are going to get worse on Monday. They think rates are going to get better. So you can kind of make a decision. It really helps me make an informed decision for my client to see, okay, I think we should lock or we should float. It's just, it's nice to have those options.
Well, and I've even heard on occasion that, and often it's usually smaller or regional banks where there's even like special little loan programs. So they might say, hey, we'll give you fixed, 4.99 or
Yes.
5.99% if you do this, that X, Y, and Z or qualify for this. Are you seeing that happening right now too?
Yeah, so actually, there was an article. I got to see what just came out, but they said that the independent mortgage banks, they said, I'll look for it and say it to you, Chris, but they said that they lost on average roughly $1,900 per mortgage loan origination in Q4. So, what that tells
Wow.
me is that they were doing that exact same thing you were mentioning. Maybe they were holding on to, maybe 1,000 loans that they could bundle up and sell as a mortgage-backed security. But right now they found out that they lost a lot of money doing that in Q4. So I think the rates are going to be spiked up for these banks so they can recoup that. So that's why it varies between banks having higher rates and lower rates because of what they've done, the strategies. So this strategy that these banks tried to pull off, what you mentioned, it didn't really work out for some banks because, they showed a loss on their balance sheet in Q4 of 2023.
Well, especially where I know there's a lot more cash buyers been entering the market doing
Yes.
purchases, there's a lot less loans going out for the, well, and home sales have been down. Although, like I predicted, they've been coming back up again. They just
You
announced that
nailed
for
it, Chris.
February's numbers, right? But again, they mentioned cash buyers are big. So I know that the mortgage business has really suffered. How have you guys weathered through that? Like, as obviously, it's not 2021 right now.
Yeah, so 2021, you just answer your phone. That's all you have to do, right? I had my phone off the hook because I've been in the industry for, everyone in the neighborhood could refinance, right? Nobody had rates in the twos in my neighborhood. So like you could just literally knock doors if you wanted to, right? Right now there's a needs market that we work on. So we pivoted. So I went on a recruiting binge as well to grow my branch, because there's loan officers that aren't happy with, what their company's doing. So a lot of the companies they have two options. Right now I see companies are like, oh, we're just going to weather the storm and just kind of, stay put. And then there's ones like my company where we're like, no, we're going to attack the ground floor and go after the needs market, because people still need to buy investment properties. People still need to buy houses, whether they're military and they have to relocate. Maybe their family has grown and they just can't live in that house much longer. Like, what we try to provide for people is the needs market. Like, I don't want to come in and say, this person, this military member has to have their orders. They have to move. They're accustomed to always living in a house that they don't rent. They want to buy. So what do we want to provide for them? Yes, rates are higher than they normally are historically from what we've seen, especially 2020 was anomaly, right? But what we're trying to provide, well, guess what? It's kind of the same for everyone else that we have to deal with the treasury here. Like, let's try to offer you a good rate. We had to lower our margins, obviously, to help make this work for people, but we're here to help the needs market, so it's palpable. We want to make sure they have a good experience, make sure they can afford this payment. And so we're not trying to weather the storm. We're trying to tell them, hey, look, this is our reality right now. So maybe we have a little bit lower mortgage insurance option. So right now, mortgage insurance is a lot cheaper than it was actually in 2021. So people can have a lower payment on their rate. Because like you said, it's a payment overall. It's not just the rate. We got payment with the rate, with the mortgage insurance. So lenders are trying to get creative to help consumers be able to afford housing. But what helped us crush it in 2023, we had the best year we've had as a company, is scalability. So we're licensed in 48 states, and then focusing on that needs market. People have to move regardless of what's happening with rates. And so we want to be able to help them and make sure they have the best experience for that, specific needs group.
Now, one thing I know about you is that, I mean, so people talk about home sales and home prices, whether they're going up or down. And by the time the news announces it, it's always the following month when they announce it,
Yes.
right? And it's almost at the point where you're behind on the news. And that's why I tell people, like, if you listen to the news, you're already too late. But you're like the first line, you're really like that first line of offense, right? You're on the front lines
Boots on the
because,
ground.
yeah, because when they're going to you first, even they put offers in, yes, but then you're immediately the person they talk to and they put in an offer even before the house is sold. So, and I told everybody on this podcast in January, I said, watch out, spring to summer of 2024, you're going to see a spike because mortgages in October were at a high. They're higher than they are now. They're up near 8%. Now they've come down below 7%. And just a 1% drop meant 5 million more borrowers qualify to get a mortgage who couldn't last fall. So when there's that normal transition, spring to summertime, especially between school seasons, that's when people are looking to buy houses, which is right about now. Are you seeing that spike starting to happen again?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So for example, you nailed it on the head perfectly, Chris. You made a great prediction. Way to crush it. But December, January, you could go in and get a house, be literally the only offer on that house. Now, what's so great about being the only offer on the house is if you're the only offer, you have more leverage. So now
That's
you can
right.
get seller paid closing costs. It maybe help you get a permanent rate buydown, or help you get what's called a temporary rate buydown. And what a temporary rate buydown is they can get a seller credit to have, let's use an example of, just as just example, not what rates are at right now, but let's say the rate's at 6.875. They can get a seller credit to literally get their first year at 4.875, their second year at 5.875, and then years 3 through 30 at 6.875, completely paid by the seller. That is something when you're the only offer on that house that you can negotiate, and you'd be very surprised. We have percentages here, the data of how many sellers were accepting those types of offers. And then February hit, March hit, and now there's three offers, four offers. This last one that we saw, we had an average of 3.4 offers per house. And I promise you, April, May is going to hit six or seven offers. So if you're thinking about it and you're on the fence, think about the difference of leverage you have if you're competing with six people. I like to have a picture of, like, let's say you're in a box, right? It's you against one person or you against six people. How much more competition is going to be? And so right now we're seeing someone who wants that 2-1 buy down, so it could be a little more palpable. But then someone comes in and really wants the house, and they're like, no, we don't need the 2-1 buy down, or we don't need any seller paid closing costs. We're just going to take that offer so they can get the house. And it's not as wild as 2020, 2021, but it's starting to get, it's getting crazy. It's definitely getting a lot more people in on offers. And so it's switching. The buyers aren't having as much power as the sellers. It's still there. We're still in a good point right now. But come 2, 3 months, I think you're going to be right again there, Chris. I think anyone who's sitting on the sidelines right now are going to kind of shoot themselves in the foot and be like, oh, I should have just got in now instead of waiting.
Yep. I've been telling that to a lot of our clients. Some have pulled the trigger, but a lot of them just been sitting around twiddling their thumbs, like, what are you doing? This
That's
is the
what everyone's
time right
doing.
now.
We are all very similar. People don't understand, regardless of political aspects or religious or any of that, we're very similar creatures, and everyone's sitting on the sidelines waiting. And the ones that aren't waiting are winning. I'm seeing it.
That's
Boots on
right.
the ground. The ones that are proactively going out and getting the house, they're winning. Like 2020 and 2021 was interesting because you couldn't get a house you wanted. You just had to offer so many houses because we'd have an average in Utah here. I'm locally in Utah, but in Utah, we probably had 8 to 12 offers on every single house. And so I had clients that were so frustrated that rates were so low, they couldn't get into a house. So they just settled for the house that they wanted back in 2020. They didn't even like the house. They're just like, I need to get in a
Yeah.
house. Right now is the opposite. Rates are a little higher. You actually get the house you want. Like there's a beautiful house that you've been looking at and you've been seeing for afar and it goes and it lists. Now you're only going to compete with, you know, 1 to 4 people. That gives you a 25% chance to get that house. Whereas in May, June, July, you're probably going to, you know, that's going to be cut in half.
10 to 20. Yeah. So, and I noticed you said this to me when we were off the air before. Like, it sounds like there's a lot of people have pent up demand. Like, people have just been waiting. Even like, it's almost like they've almost accepted the rates the way they are now. And now they're just emotionally done with where they are. They want to move now. Like, just like in 2020,
Yes.
when nobody could buy a car and we got to be 21 or 22, people are like, all right, I'm buying that car now. Right. Are you,
Yes.
what are you hearing right now from the sentiment in the marketplace?
Yeah, so what I'm seeing is a lot of people, like you said, they are not really, nobody cares what the rate is if they hate their house or if their house is too small or if they want a garage or they want a yard. There's a lot of people that, you know, that bought in 2020, especially even the first time home buyers that now have 2 or 3 kids or and they want to go in the backyard with their child, but the house that they bought was maybe a townhome or something that didn't have that. They want to have bigger property. They're walking away, whether I tell them you should, if you can, turn it into a rental because 2.875 rental is an amazing cash flow forever. It's phenomenal. But if they,
Yeah.
these people would much rather, right now they're like, no, I want to live in the house I want to live in. I don't mind paying an extra $500, $600 a month in payment because I get the house that I want. So people are kind of accepting the fact that, you know, yes, rates are a little higher. But I really want that new kitchen, or I want a garage, or like I want that bigger house. So it's a cycle. You know, when your family grows, they, you know, you want different things. And a lot of people are just, they don't care about the house that they bought in 2020, 2021.
What do you think about this strategy, Kyle? And this is something I mentioned back in January on the show, is I said, I'm like, this is my prediction. I could be wrong because, I mean, the truth is, 2023, almost everybody said real estate prices will drop, and nationwide they went up over 5%, right? It was like 5.5% nationwide. This year, like I said, I predict that. I mean, I don't know if it'll hold for the entire year, but I'm pretty sure it would, especially through the summer, is that if you bought now, even if the rates were higher right now. If you bought now, there's very likely you could easily see a 5% appreciation jump over the next 3 to 6 months. So say you bought a $500,000 house, and all of a sudden that $500,000 goes to 525,000. Even if the rates came down later, even if you refied it, had to pay new closing costs, and you can probably correct me. There might be
Yeah.
ways to do no cost refis as well, right?
Yes.
Even if I had to pay 10 grand for that refi, I still netted 15 grand for free, didn't I?
Yes, it's and it's again, it's the reason why I think you're going to be correct is it's about offers. When you have more offers on the house, that's when the appreciation goes up because it's going to be the highest
Yeah.
bidder, right? So when people June, July, August are really itching to get into the house, especially if rates go, like you said, if rates go another 1% lower, that's another 5 million buyers. So it's just math, right? So if you have an extra 5 million buyers that now are pre-approved that wanted to buy a house, but they couldn't because they weren't pre-approved, but now they're pre-approved. Now think of you as if you're pre-approved right now, you want to compete with the people that are pre-approved right now, not people that are pre-approved in the future because that's an extra 5 million
Yes.
people. So more people, more offers, higher appreciation. I think you're going to be right on the spot there. I think people that even like, I think if they waited in March right now, and they try to buy in August, I guarantee those houses from March to August will be at least 4 or 5% higher in purchase price. It just, I know it. It's just math from, you can even look back the last 20 years. It appreciates. And so that's what I predict.
Yeah, we're even airing this in early April. So, guys, that even means less time. Good luck with that.
Yes. Yes.
No, it really does. I mean, and so do you, what do you say, like, with those that are wondering, like, well, should I wait for rates to drop instead of just, trying to get in now? I mean, are there good refinance options that you think allow people to refi with for lower costs or even for no cost?
The reason why I really love the temporary rate buy down, I love this program, Chris, because it's a subsidy. I love it. So, for example, because it's a subsidy, let's say you buy a house in April and you get the 1.0 buy down. So, what the 1.0 buy down is you just get that 1% lower rate for that year. Let's say rates happen to get better in 6 months when you're able to refinance. Well, you still have 6 months left over on that subsidy. Guess what the lenders that we work with do? They're going to give that back to you in the refinance so you don't lose it. That's why I love it. A permanent buy down, you're going to bet against the market. So if you're going to buy down a point, let's say it's a $1 million loan amount, you're buying down 10 grand. Well, if the rates get better and you refinance, you bet on the market that the rates weren't going to get better. So you lose out. Temporary, I love because it's kind of a win-win. You get that alleviated payment that's lower. And then after, if rates do get better, you can refinance and you get some of that money back. So that's why I'm a huge advocate for the temporary 1.0 or 2.1 buy down. And I tell them to negotiate that with the seller. The seller has to pay for it, all of it. It's just a win-win situation right now. So I tell clients, hey, look, imagine getting 4.875 right now. You can get that rate right now through a 2.1 temporary buy down, and you're going to be winning. You get the house you want, you get the rate that you want. And then you don't have to worry about, well, what if rates get better? Well, what if rates get better? Well, cool. If you're on a 2.1 buy down, that's 24 months worth of 2% lower rate 1 year, 1% lower rate than the note rate the second year. You got a buffer of, 12, 24 months of, like, if rates do get bigger, bet better, you're in a win-win situation.
And if they don't get better, if they even go higher, you're still like, well, at least I'm in right now
At
when
least
they're
I'm in right
lower.
now. At least I experienced, 12 to 24 months of alleviation. And then if rates at the note rate at 30 years better than what the par rate is at that time, you won. So I like to leverage out. If you have at least 12 months advantage, that's why I like the temporary buy down.
Is that possible with the cash out refinance as well? Or is that
Cash
only
out
purchases?
refinance. No, this is only on purchases. But there are the options, like you said, on the cash out refinance where we can kind of leverage where the rates are and see. Like, for example, let's say hypothetically rates are at 7.25. Well, 7.25, maybe you can get a credit from the lender to be no cost because 6.99 is par. There's different areas where you can get the costs to be lower, but then let's say rates get back up to 8 or 9%, you won on that refinance. So it just kind of depends on what people are looking at. But when rates get in the low sixes, we have a lot of clients that bought last year in October that have rates in the high sevens. So it'll be very advantageous for them to refinance to the sixes. And that's where we can look at different scenarios where if rates did get down to low six, you could get a package where, let's say, you pay a lot of closing costs when you purchased your home and you don't want to pay a lot of closing costs on a refinance, you could go for a slightly higher rate in the sixes. But hey, if your rate's 7.875 and the par rate's 6%, you could refinance a 6.25 when the lender's offering you maybe $5,000 or $6,000 in what's called lender credit to cover your costs. There's strategies to help you alleviate the costs when you're refinancing and purchasing a house. But great question there.
Which means more money in your pocket anyways, especially depending on why you're doing a cash out refinance, which is kind of where I'm leading down right now, because you've been noticing, because here's the thing I hear, and I know you hear it too, which is, well, I've got a mortgage that's in the 2.75% or in the threes right now. Why would I want to refi to double the rate currently, like in the sixes or maybe even the sevens? Why would I do that? And you're seeing some reasons why to do that, aren't you?
So a big reason I'm seeing right now is you guys got to understand the difference between blended rates, right? You have one rate on your mortgage, but you also have credit card rates, you have car rates, you have all these other installment loans. Maybe you got a loan for something else to buy a boat or something like that. Those have different rates. So what we're seeing right now with boots on the ground is we're seeing people that, yes, they may have a 2.875 mortgage rate, but they have $150,000 in credit card debt at a rate of 26% or 24% or whatever it ends up being. Maybe they have student debt that they're accruing that they need to pay off. There's just so many different types of installment loans and debts that right now. So what we do is we calculate what's your new blended rate. So for example, let's say their rate's 2.875 on their mortgage, 24% on their credit cards, and then 7% on their car loan. They can consolidate that, and then we can calculate what's called the blended rate. And it's interesting to see people going from 2.875 to possibly 6.875 on their mortgage, but they paid off the $100,000 in credit card debt and the $10,000 car debt, $20,000 boat debt. Their new blended rate crushes their previous blended rate. So it's a strategy that people don't understand that, hey, look, you can actually be better off by doing a cash out refinance. And I'm very strict on these. Like, I will, if it makes sense, I will let them know. If it doesn't make sense, I will tell them, no, absolutely, you should stay in your 30-year fixed. And then let's look at some HELOC options, which is a home equity line of credit, and see where that rate is. Sometimes that rate's anywhere between, you know, 6 and 12%, and just pay off a certain amount. We want to protect that low rate as much as we can. But unfortunately, there's some people, Chris, you know, they got a little too excited when the rates got low, and their mortgage, they save 500 bucks on their mortgage. And instead of like being excited that they save 500 bucks on their mortgage, they went out and bought a boat. They went out and buy a really nice truck, and they just kept spending and just keep spending. So what I'm seeing is debt accumulation right now. And that's why a few people had to sell their house. They had to sell it because they just got, the debt got too out of control. So that's trending. And I'm only one guy and I'm seeing it. It's going to be, you know, I use me as a trend kind of, because like, if I see six or seven of this scenario in 1 month, like, I'm just one guy. That's got to be, you know, a lot more scenarios throughout the United States.
Well, and one thing that's interesting too, is that, I mean, the interest rate's the easy answer, right? If you have high interest rate debt, like, yeah, you consolidate at a lower rate. It makes sense for most people. The harder thing I noticed with some of my clients, and I know, cause I referred somebody to you last year when rates came down lower than they are today. And I told her, I said, they are low right now, spring of 23. You would want to lock. I'm like, I see it. I think you want to lock like right now. Yeah. And you even said, we should lock right now. She didn't. She dragged her feet and then eventually didn't do anything. Right.
Spiraled out of control.
Money. But it was actually like trying to get a cash out refinance. Her big hangup was, but my rate's 3.25. However, you're talking about getting me to 6.25 is what you guys had offered her at that time. And I'm like, yeah. But it's the terms of the loan that matters, right? It's what does it do to your monthly payment? Because even if it's the same interest rate of a debt that you have, maybe it's like a car loan, but that payment's much higher than it would if it got transferred to your mortgage because it's a 30-year loan. And somebody will say, well, that just means I'm in debt for 30 years. It doesn't matter. It's money. Like, you could pay it off sooner if you want, right? You can pay it down and still, you know, pay less interest potentially. But the key is, if you can get your payments down, free up that cash flow, and then that money goes to be invested. Or in her case, we're going to cash out, not just, you know, we weren't really looking to do any payments, like paying off any types of credit cards, but really just cashing money out, because her payment was like almost like a 15-year mortgage, but still cash that money out, make the payment cheaper. So she got money for almost for free. It was like a few hundred extra dollars a month, but she could make a couple thousand a month with that extra money, right? So there's, that's
crazy.
One thing that's key.
It is key. And it's crazy to think of the people that did have just the rates that and the low rates of twos and threes, where they were saving at the time they were refinancing probably from the high threes, high fours. And it would be, it's crazy to look back, you know, hindsight, right? But if people that went from 4.75 to 2.75 and they're saving 500, 600 bucks on their loan, been amazing. Mm-hmm. Instead of buying that truck, what if they would have invested that money per month? Imagine where that could have gone the last 4 years. And so, yeah, same concept there is, yes, hers specifically too, was the payment didn't even change. Matter of fact, I think her mortgage payment was a little lower, if I remember, as far as after everything was said and done with the paying off the other debts she had, not her mortgage payment, but her overall payments that she needed.
Oh yeah. And, like, it,
yeah, there's a
it
strategy.
Gave her extra money for pretty much for free. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That to me is wild, you know, but again, that's hard because people have been taught and trained and educated. I wouldn't even call it educated, really just brainwashed to believe by banks, by people that work for the banks, like financial advisors that said, no, don't do that. You want to pay the sucker off, which is exactly what the banks want you to do. They want you to get that as much equity as possible, so it protects their investment in that mortgage.
Correct.
If you understand that and you can turn the tables back in your favor, say, wait, how do I have as much cash as possible? It's that you have a much more empowered situation, and those banks don't really want your mortgage back anyways, if that's the case.
It's true. It's true.
So, well, Kyle, this has been awesome. I mean, time's flying, but if people want to like look at their options with you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
So my handles on all my social media is Kyle, my lender. I was in a real estate office and everyone kept on saying, I'll get you connected with Kyle, my lender, Kyle, my lender. And so I just kind of went with it. So you can see my handles on social medias on all across the board, Kyle, my lender, kylemylender.com. And then you can also reach out to me directly. You know, my number is 801-687-2018. I answer my phone and text everyone throughout the United States. Or you can simply look up Kyle Kohler at UMortgage. I'm everywhere online. I focus a lot on social media, so I try to be on Google, and you can find me just by looking up my name.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll be sure to put that in the show notes. And everybody, like, honestly, like, Kyle is the guy that we refer our own VIP clients that pay us for consulting. We refer them to Kyle and his team as well. So This is not some random guy I brought on the show just because I
I
thought he was
appreciate
cool.
you, Chris.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
he's
try to
doing
do a
good
great
work.
job for you because I know what you do for your clients. So I match that intensity because you do such a good job. You save them so much money. You educate them. And we want to make sure that we're a reflection of you. So definitely, we do take that very seriously. I appreciate you.
And we appreciate that as well, man. So, well, everybody, if you're in the situation where you think either one, you're purchasing a property, whether it's for yourself or for a rental, whatever it might be, and or two, you're considering some refinance options, guys, timing is everything, you know. And I'll tell you, like, I remember my very first mortgage, my very first home purchase, it got delayed a little bit, but it just happened to get delayed perfectly to where it dropped my rate 1.25% lower. But sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes you wait too long and you're paying 1.25% higher. So I would just say this, guys, like, you know, the timing is now. The best thing is to have those connections, be ready, be prepared so that when the time is right, you know what to do. So be sure to reach out to Kyle and his team. Everybody, make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.